If you have your Bibles, I ask you to follow along. If not, I'll have scriptures on the board here. But if you do have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Where it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Today's lesson is on spiritual marksmanship. It's a study in Bible authority. And you'll notice little things here. A target is painted, and then a shot is fired. So there's two different ways you can paint a target and shoot it, or you can shoot and then paint a target around it. And hopefully you'll kind of get what that's talking about as we go along here. People today are looking for a church that suits them. An example, going to church because it's close to home, or because they have an activity you like, or because you have friends there. You know, there's a lot of visitors here today, and there may be some that are that attend other congregations that are not churches of Christ. And if you are, my intent is not to offend you. My intent is to preach the truth. And so hopefully everyone here will look at this with an open mind and open heart, and hopefully we'll find the truth in it. Painting the target after you shoot. Choosing the church of your choice rather than the church that God wants you to assemble with. Choose a religion because it matches your moral standards and your doctrine and your social background is painting the target after you shoot. This PowerPoint presenter is a little different than mine, so there may be some glitches there. God draws the boundaries in religion. 1 John 3:4 says, whoever commits sin is also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. According to Thayer, sin is failing to hit the mark. Also, according to Thayer, lawlessness, properly the condition of one without law, either because they're ignorant of it or because they're violating it. Lawlessness is condemned in the Bible. Very familiar scripture to all of us, Matthew 7:21-23. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Jesus won't accept sin. Jesus won't accept lawlessness. In talking to those who belong to the various denominations of around about here and elsewhere, this scripture, people have a hard time with it. Because people want to believe that as long as they're, you know, pretty much a good person, pretty moral, that God's going to accept them. The Scripture doesn't provide that. The Scripture doesn't tell us that. The Scripture says you have to do the will of my Father if you want to come to heaven. Just because you've called on my name does not make you a righteous person. That's not what makes a person righteous. It's doing the will of the Father in heaven. Most of the so-called Christian religious world doesn't teach that there are commandments under the new covenant or the dispensation of grace. We must hit the mark. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Keep means to attend to carefully or take care of. Of course, the commandment, the order, a command, a charge, a precept. This is sort of an alien thing to many so-called religious people of today because they see the Old Testament is the testament of commandments and the New Testament is the testament of love. Okay? But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if Jesus said that, there must be some commandments that we have to keep. In other words, we must hit the target that God has made for us and not paint our own target after we shoot. In other words, please our own selves. We have to please God. There are only two kinds of targets. Matthew 21, verses 23 through 27. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So two kinds of targets, either from heaven or from men. Take a little while and we'll talk about man's target. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his heart. many of you are married, and probably you'll understand where I'm coming from. But Kevin's got a way of doing things. The way I like to do things, the way I see is right. And my pretty little red-headed wife, Julie, has a different way of doing things sometimes. But she thinks they're right, too. Well, everybody knows that she's wrong, but I'm right. Everybody knows that. Except Julie. But then I figure out in due time that she was right and I was wrong. Like most men who want to have a happy marriage. But that's sort of the point of this. Every man, when he's made his mind up and decided that he's right, he's right. But that's not always good wisdom to use. Many decisions are made using one's own wisdom, both within the church and without. It may seem right in our own eyes, but we must consider the scriptures. Denomination, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. People that say, go to the church of your choice. Whatever makes you happy, whatever you're comfortable with. We have to understand that that is completely and totally against what the scriptures teach. Okay? How can I be of the same mind and the same judgment with somebody who thinks that you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven when I do believe that? That's not the same mind and the same judgment. Either I'm right and he's wrong, or he's right and I'm wrong. It's not either or. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And Jesus says that we have to be of the same mind and the same judgment. We have to bounce that argument off of this right here. This is the authority. This is the standard right here. So once we establish, because some people don't even hold this to be the standard, once we establish that this is the standard that we're going to go by, that's when we figure out, what's the right position and what's the wrong position. This is how we achieve the same mind and the same judgment, is what I'm saying. Because this target has already been painted. and we aim for it. Human trees, Galatians 1, 6 through 8. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let it be accursed. Again, painting the target. The target has been painted. We can't, you know, shoot off to over here and say, yep, I hit the bullseye. Nope, nope, nope. That's not the bullseye. The bullseye is here. Feelings and opinions. When we base our spiritual decisions on our feelings and opinions instead of truth, the spiritual death awaits us. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Worldly values. For those who attend a church based on its social climate or for social reasons, they have their reward. Because that's what they're looking for. It's to be happy when they're going, you know, to church for something other than what they should be happy for, or something for something they're looking for something other than what they should be looking for. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We just read the scripture that says, not all that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. And this one says, that same person will abide forever. So, you know, we think about there's a fellow and his wife that live up the hill from us. And they attend a denomination church kind of close to where we live. And, you know, in talking to the fellow about how's he enjoying this church or whatever, and, you know, the only thing he talks about is softball. That's all he talks about. Oh, we had a great softball game, great turnout. You know, we won. I hit a home run. How's Bible class? Yeah. Let me tell you, you know, let me tell you about softball. it's obvious that he goes to that place of meeting to participate in softball. If they didn't offer softball, do you think that man would go to church? No, he wouldn't go to church. There's so many places, somebody I work with, that they eat dinner inside the building at their congregation on Wednesday night. They eat breakfast, a lunch after Sunday service, and they eat dinner before they go to church on Sunday evening. And they have a lot of people that go to church there. And I haven't briefed the subject with him yet, but the question sort of arises, you stop feeding people, how many people do you think will come? You know? There's a reason that we come to services, a reason we come to worship. And softball and, you know, fried fish and grits ain't the reason we come. We come to worship God in the way God wants us to worship Him. Human traditions. Matthew 7:15-9. Hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Some men wouldn't admit it, but man is flawed. Okay? Man is flawed. Division is wrong. Human creeds are a moving target. God's ways are not our ways. This world will pass away. When we include human tradition in our worship, it is vain worship, and therefore it is not acceptable to God. Man's target is a moving target. And this is supposed to just kind of happen, but you get the point. Identifying God's target. God is the creator of all, and if we keep His commandments, we'll be, shooting at God's target. Then it's chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the creator of everything. He's the creator of this building. He's the creator of the earth under it. He's the creator of the rain that falls on it. There's the pollen that congests so much of it. He's the creator of us. He's the creator of this computer, the light that makes this projector work. He's the creator of all of it. So, it doesn't even make good sense to make up our own mind about the things that we're supposed to do. It doesn't even make good sense. What makes good sense is that God, who is the Father of all, and above all, and through all, and in us all, is the one that we should be paying attention to. Deuteronomy 8:6, and thou shalt keep the commandments of Jehovah thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has always been and will always be. He is the Word, and the Word can be our only standard. Okay? From the creation of the earth, Jesus is there. Jesus, John 1:14, we talked about this morning, the Word became flesh and lived as a man and gave himself on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. For all those who would be obedient to him and keep his commandments, to observe all things that I have commanded you. For God's target is following what Jesus says, not what man says. The Holy Spirit, John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God. Okay? He speaks to us through the Word of God because the men who wrote this scripture work, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things. So, sort of putting all that together, back to the Bible, back to the authority. The authority is the Bible that was written by the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God, which means it is Jesus, because Jesus is the Word, and it is of the Father. That is God's target. The apostles and the prophets, Ephesians 2:20. having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we read in Acts 2:42 that the ones who were part of the church there, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So the apostolic approved examples is another target that's by God's target. The New Testament, Ephesians 3:3-5. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. The brother this morning talked about ignorantly sinning. God's not going to take that anymore. Why? Because we have all the things that we need to know for a life of godliness right here in the Bible, in the New Testament. As provided to us by the apostles, through the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by God himself. Through direct commandment, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said it. Jesus said it, so it's a commandment that we all should believe and be baptized if we want to be saved. An example of a direct commandment given in the New Testament. Approved examples, Acts 20, verse 7. Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul wrote, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." We come together on the first day of the week to break bread. We come together on the first day of every week to break bread because we are given an example in the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do. So there's another a target painted by God. Things that are in the Bible that we see that are examples in the Bible that we can go by. Necessary inference. Now, the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, just read that, we see the words first day of the week. First day of the week. Every week has a first day, so it is necessarily inferred that we meet every first day of the week to break bread. And to hear preaching, and to sing praises, and to offer up our prayers, and to lay by in store. These are the things that we have to do on the first day of the week. God's target is immovable. The only way for us to agree on the things that we're supposed to do is to go back to the Scripture and find the truth therein. Does it really matter? They have in a bayou offered strange fire and were consumed. Nowhere was there real question. Not at all. And it would almost seem that they were overzealous. But that overzealousness, the too much zeal maybe, got them kind of running kind of crooked there. And they did something that they were not commanded to do, and God punished them. Jericho and everything that was in it was a curse, and they took all of the accursed thing. Joshua and all of Israel stoned him and his family and then burned them all. Achan confessed to this end but was still punished. Saul was told to destroy Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and all of the men, women, and children, and all of the beasts that dwelled in the land. And he spared Agag and the best of his livestock. God repented that he had made Saul king. Saul also confessed that he still lost his kingdom. Others tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant, so he was not allowed, and God put him to death. Ananias and Sapphira. The crime of Ananias was not in his retaining part of the price of the land. He might have kept it all, had he pleased. However, his endeavoring to impose upon the apostles was an awful lie. From desire to make a vain show, joined with covetous, was his sin. And so, you know, we hear this church of your own choice, and it doesn't really matter, and all that, but God says it does matter what we do and how we live and how we worship Him. The brother prayed for that we would worship God in His Spirit and in truth. That truth part matters. It matters a lot. There's only a couple of verses here that talk about Nadab and Abihu. But they offered something that was strange to God. He didn't like it, and He put them to death. Like that. Like that. It does matter. It absolutely does matter. Man's target. 1,500 different denominations. That number is not accurate or current. There's more than that now. People say that all churches lead to the same place, council, society, human creed. Some people don't go to church at all. My little brother, I used to own a plant nursery in Millersville. And Brother James Shear, who used to be the preacher over in the church in Millersville, he used to come to the nursery every day, and I'd give him two or three tomatoes to take home to Miss Pat. And you kind of have to know James Shear. He's a character now. He's going to preach to every single person he meets. Better believe that. But it's just the way he does it. He's a little kooky sometimes. But my little brother happened to be there. And I saw James hobbling coming down there. And I said, uh-oh, here it goes. I knew it was coming. And he walks in. The first thing he wants to know is he wants to meet you. He don't know you. He's going to meet you. I'm telling you. He's just going to do it. And he walks up and he says, hey, Kevin, how you doing? I said, I'm doing pretty good, James. James, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. Who's this? This is my little brother, Chris. And he says, how you doing, Chris? Where you go to church? My brother said, well, my mama said, I didn't have to go to church to go to heaven. And he said, well, son, your mama's not the same soul. Jesus Christ is. And right then and there, I understood what I'm teaching to you right now. As simple as that. And he's right. My mother wasn't going to save my brother's soul. Jesus was going to save his soul. And he told him, Jesus is going to save his soul. You ain't going to find him, you know, at this nursery. You got to go to church. So, simply put, there's no simpler way to say it. We can't save our own soul. The things that develop these 1,500, 2,000, 20, how many ever, you know, you can say too, but the things that develop these denominations is the will of man, not the will of God, because God wants us to speak the same thing, be of the same mind, the same judgment. He doesn't want all that different stuff. God's target is one church. Ephesians 2, or excuse me, chapter 1, verse 22, and chapter 4, verse 4, and gave him to be a head over all things to the church, which is his body, talking about Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body, and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. First Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. God's target is unity. Jesus' prayer for unity, John 17, 20-21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me, through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. God's target is that the church has one head. Ephesians 5, 22, 23, wives, submit yourselves. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. One creed, that is the New Testament. Acts 17:11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they received the word. They recognized that was the thing that they had to bounce what somebody was telling them. That's what they had to look at. They got to bounce it off of that. So if Bob Mahan or Kevin Alford or James Shear or any other person, Ronnie, anybody, stands up here and says something, it doesn't agree with the Bible, then they're wrong and the Bible's right. Just like these Bereans. They search the scriptures daily. the autonomy of the church, Acts 20 and 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And so what that's talking about is the autonomy of this congregation. In other words, if let's say this congregation wanted to support an evangelist somewhere but didn't have the funds to do it, they can't go to the church in Millersville and say, give us money to do that. They just can't do it. They can maybe approach the brethren and ask them if they would consider doing it, but they can't make them do it. So the work of the church is man's target. Community life centers, entertainment, kitchens, fellowship halls, support of human institutions, society, non-church movements, you know, people that don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. But God's target says that the elders of a congregation have to feed the flock that is among them. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. 1 Peter 5:12. The work and worship of the church. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 2 and 42. Teaching and strengthened with the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. So this is the work of the congregation we're talking about here. And each part working, Ephesians 4:16, from the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So everyone that's a part of a congregation has a work to do. Many examples of that. Not everyone can teach. Not everyone can preach. Not everyone can lead singing. But everyone has something that they can do. It should strive to do so. The church should be spirit, the only place that we receive the church or the word is the only place that we should receive our spiritual blessings. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Man's target regarding evangelism, social gospel, recreational, bowling, basketball, golf, etc. Non-offensive gospel, the church-supported missionary societies and colleges, plays, dramas, etc. You know, some churches of Christ are you know, sort of into that non-offensive gospel. And that can kind of get you in trouble a little bit because you're not teaching the whole truth like you should be teaching it. When you think about it, when you were converted, before you converted, you were probably offended. I know I was. I was offended because what the guy teaching me or preaching to me was saying was something that I was doing that was different than that, and so I'm thinking, man, he's crazy. Turns out that I was the one that's crazy. So, you know, it's nice to kind of get your toes stepped on from time to time because it shows that maybe you're doing something that's not right. Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The Word is what converts men. Not the Word from man, but the Scriptures are what converts men, because that's the power of God and the salvation. Not recreation or bowling and basketball and, you know, plays and dramas. That's not what truly converts a man. The Scriptures are what truly converts a man. The gospel is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men, Hebrews 4:12. We're to preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. So that God's target in regards to evangelism is to preach the Word, preach the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God and the salvation, not all of those other things. In regards to benevolence, man's target is that, to use the funds that are laid by in store and in the church fund, the church bank account, some congregations give benevolent aid to the world, non-Christians, hospitals, unwed mothers' homes, etc., benevolent societies, orphan homes, shelters, church-sponsored meals. But God's target regarding benevolence, it is to use for the needy saints. There's 6 or 8 scriptures here that deal with that. 1 Corinthians 16:1 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. This says, so now concerning the collection for the saints. The collection is for the saints. The collection is not for the world. It's for the saints. I didn't say it, the Bible did. If any, 1 Timothy 5:16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. So, even for those in the church, those saints in the church, if they have people that can help them, those people need to be helping them instead of using the money to help them, because the church needs to relieve those who are really widows and don't have anybody to help them, or widows indeed. But in talking about that, there's an individual responsibility. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and the widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So the conclusion, don't paint the target after you shoot. It does make a difference how you shoot. Obey the gospel and you'll be on target. So the thing that hopefully you'll take away from this today is, if there's something in the worship service that the scriptures do not call out as something that needs to be in the worship service, then it needs to be removed from the worship service. If the church is participating, the church as a whole is participating in things that are not approved, then they don't need to participate in that kind of stuff. If the congregation or the church is giving money to or aid to anything of the world, then that's wrong, because Jesus said, love not the world or the things in the world. That laying by in store is meant to be for the saints and for the edification of the saints and to carry out the work of the church, not the work of something that's not of the church. And it does make a difference, because, you know, we looked at Nadab and Abihu and some of those others that show that God has very specific wishes when it comes to worshiping Him, when it comes to doing things as a part of the church, and when it comes to living your life. He has a preference. And then hopefully, finally, if you understand it, to figure all of that out, you've got to go to the Scripture. You got to go, this is the target. This is it right here. This is the authority. This is the law. We can't make up our own mind on what we're going to do and just do that. So hopefully it's been a benefit to you. As a matter of convenience, there's a time and an opportunity given at the end of each worship service for those who have never been obedient to the gospel. If you would like to do so, this is the time. Maybe you have done some things and need to have public repentance and have the saints pray for you, or perhaps you just need the prayers of the saints. If you're subject to that,